Welcome to Falun Gong News, direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include a formidable organ supply chain in China based on killing, new report released at National Press Club, hearing on organ harvesting held by U.S. House Committee on Foreign Affairs, the ongoing persecution of practitioners in Inner Mongolia Women's Prison, the Art of Jin Shan Ren exhibition inspires Ukrainians in Kharkiv, celebrating World Falun Dafa Day in one of the most inaccessible areas of Northeast India, and Ontario, Canada, Falun Dafa Group's contribution appreciated in two major parades. Now for the stories.
A formidable organ supply chain in China based on killing. New report released at National Press Club. Three international investigators released an in-depth update on the killing of prisoners of conscience for their organs in China at the National Press Club in Washington, D.C. on June 22, 2016. Their extensive research based on media reports, medical journals, hospital websites, and web archives concludes that the number of transplants performed in China and the number of victims are much higher than previously estimated. David Kilgore, former Canadian Secretary of State for Asia-Pacific, and human rights lawyer David Mattis, published Bloody Harvest, Organ Harvesting of Falun Gong Practitioners in China in 2009 to shine a light on the harvesting of organs from living Falun Gong practitioners in China, millions of whom have been detained or imprisoned for their belief. Ethan Gutman, an award-winning China analyst and investigative journalist, published The Slaughter, Mass Killings, Organ Harvesting, and China's Secret Solution to its Dissident Problem in 2014 after conducting an independent investigation. This report release and press conference came several days after the U.S. House of Representatives unanimously passed House Resolution 343 on June 13th. Condemning the systemic state-sanctioned organ harvesting from non-consenting prisoners of conscience in China, including from large numbers of Falun Gong practitioners and members of other religious and ethnic minority groups. China has been perpetrating perhaps some of the most gruesome and egregious human rights violations against Falun Gong and other prisoners of conscience, yet has hardly faced any criticism, let alone sanctions for these abuses, explained Florida Congresswoman Elena Ross Lettinen, who initiated the resolution last year. She stated that the persecution and organ harvesting must be opposed universally and ended unconditionally. In-depth investigation. The new 680-page report provides a comprehensive update to the investigation work by the three authors of the past decade. With more than 2,300 references, it includes a large volume of information collected from media reports, promotional materials in China, medical journals, and hospital websites. From sources of patients to hospitals' credentials, capacity, personnel qualifications, and funding, the report collects detailed information in conjunction with whistleblower testimonies from witnesses to establish a network of systematic supply chains of organ harvesting, a profit-driven and state-sanctioned crime.
Hearing on organ harvesting held by U.S. House Committee on Foreign Affairs. A joint subcommittee hearing titled Organ Harvesting, an Examination of a Brutal Practice was held by the U.S. House Committee on Foreign Affairs on June 23, 2016. Several witnesses gave testimony that the Chinese Communist Party conducts live organ harvesting from Falun Gong practitioners at the scale of genocide, and that the heinous crime is exceedingly cruel. David Mattis, one of the three co-authors of a recent report on organ harvesting, said in his testimony, "David Kilgore and I have been researching, writing, and speaking on the killing of Falun Gong for their organs now for 10 years. Ethan Gutman is a journalist who interviewed us on our work and then did his own. Since David Kilgore and I published Bloody Harvest, the third version of our report in book form, and Ethan Gutman published his book, The Slaughter, we three have remained active in writing, researching, investigating, and speaking on organ transplant abuse in China. Yesterday, at the National Press Club, we released an 817-page update to our work. It is now available online. He stated, "The ultimate conclusion of the update is that the Chinese Communist Party has engaged the state in the mass killings of innocents, primarily practitioners of the spiritually based set of exercises Falun Gong, but also Uyghurs, Tibetans, and select house Christians in order to obtain organs for transplants. The fact that the evidence we have now examined shows much larger volumes of transplants than the government of China has asserted points to a larger discrepancy between transplant volumes and government of China identified sources than we had previously thought existed. That increased discrepancy leads us to conclude that there has been a far larger slaughter of practitioners of Falun Gong for their organs than we had originally estimated." Investigative journalist Ethan Gutman testified at the hearing, saying, "This is the familiar specter of human genocide cloaked in modern scrubs." He indicated that their newest investigation report shows that the Chinese regime's forced live organ harvesting from prisoners of conscience is continuing at an alarming scale. Charles Lee, M.D., director of public awareness for the World Organization to Investigate the Persecution of Falun Gong, testified at the hearing, saying, "So far, our organization has collected more than 3,000 academic papers on organ transplants in China. This new set of evidence also strengthens the previous conclusion that the Chinese regime is harvesting organs from living people, and that very large numbers of captive and healthy Falun Gong practitioners have been kept as living donors." U.S. House Representatives Dana Rohrabacher and Chris Smith also spoke at the hearing.
The ongoing persecution of practitioners at Inner Mongolia Women's Prison. More than 40 Falun Gong practitioners are still being tortured at the Inner Mongolia Women's Prison. With promises of reduced sentences, the guards often induce other prisoners to commit brutal and inhuman acts against practitioners. When guard Xiao Mei held a meeting, she spoke at length about how Falun Gong practitioners were disobedient and very hard to manage. After the meeting, when the prisoners went back to their cells, they first cursed at the practitioners and then tortured them. When practitioners reported the crimes to Xiao Mei, she tried to shirk responsibility and said, "How come I didn't see it?" The guards forced everyone to take medications to prevent high blood pressure. When Falun Gong practitioners refused to take the medicine, several prisoners shoved them to the ground and force-fed them the medication. Liu Gang, a guard with a long history of persecuting Falun Gong at other facilities in the region, was transferred to the Inner Mongolia Women's Prison to specifically focus on persecuting practitioners. She ordered other prisoners to put photos of the founder of Falun Gong on the entrance doors of bathrooms as an insult. If a practitioner tore it down, she was beaten by prisoners. When a practitioner went to find her to reason with her, she ordered prisoners to beat the practitioner. Practitioner Ms. Shi Yumei refused to renounce her belief in Falun Gong. Because of this, a prisoner shoved her to the floor and then force-fed her medication. Prisoners subsequently kicked her in front of others. On another occasion, she was shocked with electric batons in a prison office. Practitioner Ms. Wang Yi started a hunger strike after she was taken to prison. She was force-fed with a tube that was pushed through her nasal passage into her stomach. Ms. Wang took the tube out. The prisoner forced the tube back in, and prisoners tied her hands. They also punched, kicked, and cursed her. The guards ordered prisoners to monitor the practitioners at all times, even when they used the washroom. They did not allow practitioners to talk to one another. If two practitioners were seen talking to each other, they were beaten.
The Art of Zhen Shan Ren exhibition inspires Ukrainians in Kharkiv. The Art of Zhen Shan Ren, Truth, Compassion, Forbearance, International Exhibition, traveled to Kharkiv, Ukraine again on June 8th to June 19th, 2016, while on tour. Local residents who visited the exhibition were touched by Falun Gong practitioners' strong faith and unyielding spirit in the face of the brutal persecution by the Chinese Communist Party. One Ukrainian couple said it was the first time they had heard about the persecution. They were deeply touched by the principles that the artworks conveyed, because these principles were pure, uplifting, and make the world better. They said that society needs truthfulness, compassion, and forbearance. They hoped such exhibitions would be held more often so that people could understand and trust each other more and have fewer conflicts. Maria, a TV reporter, commented, "Every piece of artwork touches my heart deeply. I know the artists believe in Falun Dafa, which is very profound, but I know little about it. I hope to get more information about this ancient cultivation practice after seeing the exhibition." Nina, a doctor, told the reporter, "I saw this exhibition 3 years ago. I was touched then. The persecution portrayed in the artwork is terrible. Even taking a glimpse of it makes me sad. I think more people should see the artworks. It would broaden their perspective, bring out their compassion and endurance, and greatly benefit society." Arena, a reporter, said that no other paintings had impressed her so deeply before. She was stunned by the art exhibition. She said, "You seem to live together with the people in the paintings, and you can understand what is happening and their feelings without any words or music." Alina, a college student, said, "I'm so touched by these paintings. I shed tears on seeing an orphan's sorrow. I'm sad that almost no one knows this terrible tragedy is happening in China. It's amazing that one would rather die than betray her belief. Only extraordinary people could have such spirit."
Celebrating World Falun Dafa Day in one of the most inaccessible areas of Northeast India. A practitioner living in Sarnath, India, who has introduced Falun Dafa in Sikkim, Ladakh, and other remote places in India, recently ventured into some of the most remote and inaccessible areas in Northeast India. Northeastern India consists of 7 states, often called the Seven Sisters. Their cultures are more similar to those found in Tibet, Myanmar, and China than in mainstream India. Permits and safety worries deter most travelers, yet the people here are among the friendliest in the whole subcontinent. Aizawl, the state capital of Mizoram, is one of the least visited cities in India and is set on ridges of steep hills. It is one of the most literate and liberal communities in India. There is no discrimination based on sex, status, or religion, and people are bound together by a code of ethics consisting of selfless service and concern for others. The practitioner held a press conference in Aizawl to introduce Falun Gong to the local area, which was reported by 3 English and 6 local language newspapers and on local TV. The practitioner also organized a seminar where attendees learned the 5 exercises, watched a short documentary about the persecution of Falun Gong, and signed a petition from the doctors against forced organ harvesting. After a 12-hour road journey, the practitioner arrived at the final destination of Chakmaland. Local officials there fully supported the practitioner's plan to visit the schools, and in the following 2 weeks, she visited 10 schools. The climate was even hotter than usual, and there was an electricity problem and limited water. There wasn't a single guest house, hotel, or restaurant. No internet. Phones that only occasionally worked and only a few small shops. The only link with civilization was helicopter service twice a week, which hadn't been in operation for over a month. The practitioner said, once again, all hardships paled in comparison with the friendliness and hospitality of the people. At the schools, due to the heat, most school children gathered around 5 in the morning, even though some of them had to walk long distances. The practitioner met with teachers and showed a short documentary about the persecution of Falun Gong. It touched many hearts, and the viewers were anxious to sign the petition from Doctors Against Forced Organ Harvesting. All of the children and most of the teachers participated in learning the 5 exercises and learned about the persecution in China. As May 13th was drawing near and no helicopter was available to travel back to Aizawl, the practitioner decided to celebrate World Falun Dafa Day at the very first school where Falun Dafa was introduced. The idea to celebrate here was met with immediate support from teachers. The principal and other children made a large World Falun Dafa Day May 13th banner and small banners with Falun Dafa is good, truthfulness, compassion, forbearance is good in the local language. The practitioner gave a short introduction on the significance of World Falun Dafa Day, followed by the chairman and principal expressing their thanks and good wishes. Four girls performed a local dance and everyone did the five exercises. The program concluded with some students and a teacher singing We Shall Overcome, honoring those who are enduring the persecution in China. The practitioner said, I am grateful for Master Li's arrangement, care, and protection in reaching out to people and touching them with Dafa. I sincerely hope that not only many seeds have been planted, but that many of them will sprout and even bloom in this distant part of India.
Ontario, Canada, Falun Dafa Group's contribution appreciated in two major parades. The Falun Dafa Divine Land Marching Band and Waist Drum Team were invited to participate in two large-scale parades in Burlington and Oshawa, Ontario, on June 18th and 19th, 2016. The blue and white costumes of the marching band members and the golden traditional Chinese outfits of the waist drummers were especially eye-catching on the bright, sunny day. Their outstanding performances were greeted with applause from enthusiastic spectators. The hosts of both parades, as in previous years, were very pleased and wanted the group to come back again next year. Oshawa held their Grand Fiesta Parade on the 19th to celebrate Father's Day. It is one of the top 100 important festivals and events in Ontario. The parade organizer was glad that the Falun Dafa group joined the parade again this year. She said, "We have invited them to the parade for many years. They have added multicultural elements to Oshawa. Their performances are exciting, and the colors of their uniforms are gorgeous." Podiatrist Carlos Sousa watched the parade with his wife, children, and mother. He said, "The Falun Dafa group is absolutely beautiful. We enjoyed it. The music from the marching band was great, and the procession moved in a uniform fashion. The yellow outfits of the waist drummers were nice, especially on a sunny day like today. They really stand out." The Sound of Music Festival is the largest free music festival in Canada. It attracts more than 220,000 people each year. Mr. Scott Johnson, organizer and chair of the festival, said, "We have invited the Divine Land Marching Band and Waist Drum Team to participate in the Sound of Music Festival parade for at least 5 years. They are very professional and we really like them." He said that the festival will definitely invite the Falun Dafa group next year, saying, "It's wonderful to have them in the parade." Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.